Welcome to Our Blue Bahamas on Guardian Radio, a podcast where we dive into the people, ideas, and action shaping a more sustainable future for our islands and our ocean. I am your host, Jasmine Colley, and today's episode is all about youth leadership, food security, and how land and sea are deeply connected. Today, we are excited to be joined by Shante Deal, the National Youth Ambassador for the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. Shante is leading powerful initiatives that empower young people across the Bahamas, especially through her agricultural focused work, which is helping to reshape how youth think about food, sustainability, and national development. Let's start with you. Tell us about your journey. What's inspired you into this leadership role as a National Youth Ambassador, Shante?
Okay, thank you for having me. So pretty much me coming into this role of National Youth Ambassador started through my venture of leadership while I was still at the University of the Bahamas. While I was there, I was the Student Government Association president for two terms, and it allowed me to have opportunities to go into rooms and see different concerns of young people within the country. And at the time, I would have also had the opportunity to experience the wonderful people who are in the Department of Youth at the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. And they would have hosted many different initiatives that I would have taken part of. And there was one where I had the opportunity of being a youth in Senate, and one of the topics for the debate had to do with food security. And it was one that I absolutely fell in love with doing research and the different initiatives that the Bahamas already has in place to prevent food insecurity. And I wanted to be a part of that as well. And so when the opportunity came for applications for persons interested in becoming a youth ambassador, I went with that platform in mind, and I was able or successful in being appointed to that position.
And also joining us today is also our very own Heather Brockbine, also an ambassador. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Heather.
All right, good day. My name is Heather Brockbank. I am the outreach officer at BRIEF, and I am also the Climate Change Youth Ambassador 2025-2026 under the Office of the Prime Minister.
Wonderful. So tell me a little bit, Shante. So when you were in university, did food security connect to what you were studying?
So not at all, because my degree is currently my area of study right now or practice is in nursing. Mm-hmm. However, I have always been a very active individual, taking on many leadership roles. And the initiatives that I would have started while I was the youth leader, a part of the South Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, through my church, it allowed me to have opportunities to do community outreach initiatives. And one year, when I was about 17 years old, my pastor and I, we partnered up and we hosted a grocery drive for individuals within the Shippingham community. And I mean, the level of ecstaticness that I felt from being able to give back and contribute to persons being able to feed their families for about a week or 2 weeks with groceries helped me to realize the need that is within this country when it comes to people being able to afford and being able to provide for their families just a simple meal. And since then, almost every year I've hosted give backs, grocery drives, food drives to help to achieve my overall goal of ensuring that food security is something that is that people are aware of within the Bahamas and something that we can work towards.
I love that you said that you're a nurse who cares about food security. I feel like, you know, when you're in the space, especially if you care about the environment, if you care about food sustainability, if you care about marine conservation, a lot of people believe that you have to be a scientist or... No, but having a voice into these matters, no matter where you're from, is really, really important. And right. I love that. That is something that you still, that is something that is still a huge focus for you.
Yes.
And it's something that you still, you know, even though you have a different studying path.
Yes.
So as your role as an ambassador, so what does a day-to-day look like?
Okay, so for me specifically, my title is Youth Ambassador at Large, which means that I do reside here within the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. My focus is to express the concerns of young people within the Bahamas, within the Commonwealth. And so my day-to-day would pretty much be alongside what I've been doing in my leadership roles thus far, pretty much understanding the concerns of young people, advocating for them, providing them with opportunities to have their voices heard, or even establish programs where they can utilize or put into action the concerns and the ideas that they have.
So speaking of some of the ideas they would have shared with you, what are some of the biggest issues facing the young people in the Bahamas right now?
Well, I would say in terms of having avenues to be able to put into action the things that they would come up with. So I know that young people are very innovative. They are very creative. However, one of the challenges, and I have to laugh because I remember doing a speech many years ago where I made a quote, and it pretty much was in the lines of the struggle that young people have today is not so much the lack of support, but the lack of opportunity. And the reason why there's such a lack of opportunity is because our society is so concentrated with people who have been in the systems for so many years, and they have become so adapted to this lifestyle and the position and the work that they do, that it tends to be hard for them to give up those positions, to give up those opportunities and allow young people to come in. So while they would verbalize the support, they aren't actually making room at the table so that the young people can come in and actually make things happen. And so that is one of the reasons why I find it so important that I am able to carry out this initiative, whether that is through my role of ambassador or if I have to do it on as a personal venture on the side. I know that a lot of young people struggle with just having that opportunity to do. And so I'm going to work to do, regardless of if they make space at the table for me.
Right, right. And what I'm hearing you say is also like a disconnect in like the generation.
Right.
And, you know, I'm still in my 20s.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also in the conservation space.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think now we facilitate this transfer of knowledge and this transfer of also like support when coming into spaces like this?
So while waiting downstairs in the lobby area, I had the opportunity to speak with a guest of yours on the show, Mr. Williams, and he said something that actually impressed me. He said that the power that young people have that they don't typically take advantage of is their power of influence. And I think that is how we would be able to pretty much immerse ourselves inside these opportunities, inside these spaces. So pretty much the goal of my initiative would be to bring awareness to the young people, get the young people talking about it, get the young people to want to participate in it. And when young people start to do things, it trickles into multi-generations. Their parents become intrigued, their younger siblings become intrigued, their grandparents become intrigued, their aunts and uncles. And what that does is that brings in the persons from other generations to want to learn about it, to want to participate in the things that we have to offer as well. So I think that through our influence is how we can connect the generations
together. So the youth is that perfect entry point into sparking the change,
yes,
is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes.
So I know you would have mentioned you got into agriculture through your give backs on grocery drives and stuff like that. So how have that impacted the youth? Are they getting involved with it? Tell us how that journey has been.
Okay, so in terms of giving back, that portion of food security, that is something that I find that a lot of young people, they are very interested in. I started it, like I said, at my local church, and we have about 50 young individuals between the age of 16 and 35 who come out every year and they support, they participate, they're excited for those opportunities. We haven't had the opportunity to expand beyond that circle. However, I do know from experience, while I was at C.R. Walker Senior High School, I was introduced to the Environmental Club, Science Club at the time, in regards to doing backyard farming, learning the different techniques needed to grow your own crops. And that is something that we started then. That was about 6 or 7 years ago. And the fact that it is something that is still happening now, it tells that there are young people who are interested. It just means that we need to do our due diligence to reach out to those who are interested, make sure that we capture them and use them to be the influence to everyone else who may not be aware of the opportunities that they have and they also have that interest in it as well.
I love that you brought up awareness. So I feel like awareness is a two-edged sword. So mm-hmm. being aware of what's happening to those around you and then being aware of what you have the impact to change.
Yeah.
And so with food security, so many persons around us are struggling day to day, and we wouldn't know about it because it's a sensitive issue and a sensitive topic that persons aren't about to say, hey, I don't have any food at home, and
right.
that's not the case.
Right.
And so having persons who are perpetually there to kind of highlight these issues is important. And from your perspective, how do you relate this issue to high school students? I know high school students, you're engaging with one another every day, but you might not know that your peer at home is struggling. How would you encourage high school students to support their peers around them or be able to even get involved in their community if they see someone that might need help?
Right. So with this program that I hope to implement, there are many layers to this program. And one of them that I really would like to target when I do make the transition to the personal venture is that in addition to bringing awareness of food security, we also want to tie in the leadership aspect of it all. Mm-hmm. Reason being is because, like you said, there are many persons who may be struggling with it, but with them being high schoolers, with them being young adults, they may not know how to address something, especially with the sensitivity that is required for it. So what I intend to do is, from all of this happening, from these individuals learning about the impact of food security, how to prevent food insecurity in the Bahamas, they can also grow the sensitivity to be aware of other individuals around them, the things that they can do. They don't even have to directly go to an individual and say, hey, I heard that you're struggling, here is some food that we would have grown, or here are some items. What they could do in a more sensitive aspect is say, hey, I'm a part of this program where we do backyard farming, we grow our own crops, and we get to take them home for our families. They can introduce that individual to the program, where that person themselves, they would be able to cultivate their own crops. They would be able to take it home and help support their family through that manner. So it isn't just a one person in it. It affects that individual, but the overall goal is to be able to bring awareness not just into high school students but also into their families. Like I said, young people are the influence. So by us bringing the awareness and providing them with the opportunities to do backyard farming and cultivating and knowing what it is to, or what is needed to establish this system, they would be able to go home and impact their communities, impact their neighborhood, their neighbors, the person next door. They could donate or contribute the things that they would have grown at school or in their backyard to whoever is in need.
Shante, you said something so important. What I just really want our listeners to highlight on this program and this initiative that you're taking on is also building capacity for sensitivity training, for leadership, for actually hands-on learning how to cultivate your own food, and also the communications and all the things that requires behind it.
Yeah.
And I just really want our listeners to know that this isn't just, you know, a lot of people when they hear agriculture, you know, they think about, but now you're talking about empowering Bahamians
yes.
to
to be more food secure.
Yeah. Creating a more mindful community.
Yeah, yes. And to be more self-sufficient when it comes to food.
Yeah.
And I think that is so, so important. So is there any success stories or standout moments that you want to share with us today?
Well, what I can say, specifically to the agriculture portion, the success that I would love to share right now is the fact that I would have already established a partnership with C.R. Walker Senior High School to implement this program, with them being our first pilot program. So I'm very excited. Well, of course, alongside Brief. And I am so excited to see exactly how we can implement this program so that we can have our opportunities for our monitoring and evaluation, so that we can see the impact that it makes both within the high school as well as the communities of the students who are part of the environmental club. Outside of that, the other aspect of food security, I feel blessed to have the opportunity to speak to the fact that the many food drive initiatives that we've done in the past, we've been able to give back to 125 plus households. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that I would love to continue. And I would love to even give these same students who we are trying to reach in these local schools the opportunity to realize the beauty that comes as a result of this selfless act of going out and bringing together different canned goods, packaging them, and giving it to a household who may be in need. It is a very rewarding feeling at the end of the day, and I do believe that it is one that is going to help encourage young people to want to be more involved in community outreach initiatives.
So I know we talk about food security in the Bahamas, especially with so much food being important. How does this initiative help shift this narrative?
Well, this initiative, the goal of this initiative is pretty much to help reduce the Bahamas' dependency on imported goods. I don't know if you know, but just in 2024, our latest update in terms of our GDP report showed that up to 41% of our GDP is allocated to imported goods. It is being used for imported goods. And of that GDP, the food supplies that are being imported is between 80 to 90% of the overall foods that we consume within the Bahamas. So the goal of this initiative, outside of the awareness and helping people to be able to feed their families and not have to depend or worry about where the next meal is going to come from, is also to assist with our dependency on relying on imported goods. If we could reduce the demand for imported goods by cultivating our own foods, by utilizing the local farmers market, by actually cultivating foods that can be donated or sold to the local farmers market for other people to be able to purchase, we can reduce that amount or that percentage of the foods that are supplied through imported good, ultimately reducing our GDP, which of course, as we know, will automatically benefit the country at large.
Yes, so yes, yes. And you know, heavy percentages.
Heavy. Yes.
And for the young persons listening, I know after you hear what Shante just said, you want to get involved with agriculture, but how do they do this even if they don't have access to land? Like, what are some things they can start doing?
Wonderful. So with this program as well, through established partnerships with Brief, as well as we are looking into or currently working on creating partnerships with BAIC as well as the Ministry of Environment, and also there's discussions with Wani Luthera Foundation, we are hoping that we can provide workshops for not just high school students or schools who are interested in seeking their green flag or eco club eco school status. We are hoping to host community workshops where anyone within the Bahamas or anyone within the community, if they are interested in learning about backyard farming, sustainable farming or cultivating tips and tools, they would be able to come to the workshop. And I'm hoping that through these partnerships, we are able to have donations of small backyard farming starter kits where individuals can come in. They could receive their seedlings with their pots. They can do or get gather tools or have access to tools that they can use to start a small backyard farm where they could cultivate their own crops that they are interested in that will lessen their dependency to having to go to the food store right in their backyard in a little raised bed or even in the pots in the windowsill, whatever technique it is that they would want to do based on what is recommended by the specialists in those areas, right, where they wouldn't need a designated land space, where they wouldn't need a specific soil type. They wouldn't have to worry about those things. As simple as just starting with the smallest aspect, just a pot, some soil, and a seedling, it could start the initiative.
I love how you're meeting people where they are at, you know? And at Blue Bahamas, we like to always explore the connection between land and sea. You know, right, we live in a very coastal country. We always say, no matter where you're at in the Bahamas, you're no more than 3 miles away,
right,
from the coast.
Right.
So what I really want to ask you is, how do you see agriculture connecting to ocean health?
Well, I know from my time at C.R. Walker in the Environmental Science Club at the time that in addition to us planting non-fruiting plants or not just flowering plants, we also would look into different initiatives with BREEF and also with BNT, where we would go to their mangrove seedlings or their mangrove nursery, I think it was at the time, and they would teach us about the impacts and what it would mean and the importance of cultivating or ensuring that mangroves are being grown and taken care of and that they're not being damaged, the area isn't being polluted. I strongly believe that agriculture is just not solely on just being able to grow different plants that produce food. I feel as though there are many different impacts. You could have non-fruiting plants that just helps with soil life within the Bahamas, that helps provide nutrients. And then our mangroves, of course, it helps with our coastlines. It helps to protect our shores from hurricanes. It helps to provide homes for nurseries for small fishes and things of that sort. And it also helps with the pH balance of our waters, the salinity and all of that. So right. I'm 100% sure that agriculture does benefit ocean life.
And then also what persons don't know is when we're importing food, we have food miles on it.
Right.
You know, the closer you have food, the less food miles you have on it.
Right.
And then that's less fossil fuels being burned.
Right.
And we know right now one of the biggest impacts, one of the biggest threats to our oceans right now is climate change.
Right.
So if we can reduce our carbon footprint.
Definitely.
Whilst feeding ourselves, whilst right, being empowered and all of these positive benefits, it right, definitely, you know, improves our environment.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I wanted to touch on something you had said, Shante, really providing opportunities for young persons to get involved in the agricultural sphere. I feel amongst young persons, a lot of times the topic of agriculture can be put to something that is an old person hobby, like, oh, that ain't for young people.
Right.
And it's something that they feel is not for them or is not cool or is out of date.
Right.
And do you feel like programs such as yours really rewrite that narrative for young people, especially with providing opportunities to get engaged?
Yes. So I remember a few years ago, this was when I was prime in high school, there was a workshop that was being held with students from different high schools that attended, and the person who was the speaker at the time asked into the crowd, who wants to be a farmer? And no one raised their hand except for one individual. One individual, he said that he wanted to be a farmer, and he got a scholarship to study something along environment to, you know, to help promote that. But I think that there is a stigma when it comes to agriculture. It isn't something that people actually consider a career to go into. But what my hope is that for the individuals who may not see it as an opportunity right now, even if that isn't something where they want to pour their entire life and their entire future into, at least with this program, we'll be able to get the data and the information to see how much individuals it impacts and how much people would be interested in participating in these activities on the side, and see exactly how it can not just provide students with job opportunities, but also provide various households with the opportunities to sustain themselves and not be able to have to depend on from paycheck to paycheck on a meal every day.
Right. And you know something, Shante, you're in a position that many young people aspire. What advice would you give the young Bahamian who wants to make a difference in their community?
I would say to, as I mentioned before, there, it may seem as though it may be a far-fetched idea, whatever it is that you have. If you strongly believe that you can make an impact in whatever you do, I would say knock on the doors, find one person to speak to. If that person is not receptive and open to it, knock on another door and find someone to speak to. And you continue to do that. You create that seat at the table for yourself. And if no one is supportive in it, you come together and you make a plan and you start small. The only thing that you need is one person to be able to adopt the plan that you have for you to move forward. And I would say we live in the artificial intelligence era now. You could go online and find ways that you can make things happen without needing the monetary support or without needing the approval of individuals who are in these seats right now. You could find ways to make things happen. So I would say simply
make your own path. Go online, figure it out, use the tools at your disposal.
Right.
And I love that. So before we end this session, I want to do a quick rapid fire round the table.
Okay.
So I want each one of you guys to give one word to describe the future of the Bahamian youth, favorite local food, beach or farm, and one thing every young Bahamian should learn. So I think we'll start with you.
Okay. So one word to describe the future of Bahamian youth, I would say innovative. My favorite local food would be a snapper dinner from O. Andres. I would choose beach over farm. And one thing every young Bahamian should learn, I would say learn about the Sustainable Development Goals and how you can pretty much do anything to help impact our Bahamas so that we can reach those goals.
And Heather, you?
All right. So one word I would use to describe the future of Bahamian youth is bold, because Bahamians are getting out there. They're finding their voice and they're not afraid to speak. My favorite local food would be conch salad, extra, extra pepper all the time. Of course, beach. I'm a mermaid, so I always enjoy going on the beach. Even if it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, or a Saturday, I'm there. And then one thing each Bahamian youth should learn is not to be afraid to use your voice as your greatest tool in your disposal. If you don't have anything or an opportunity, the least you have is your voice.
And let me do it quickly, your host. And Bahamian youth, I would say creative. And then also favorite local food, a hairy mango. It's, trust me. Definitely beach. And then also one thing Bahamians should learn is that they can create their own destiny.
Definitely.
And simultaneously help all of Bahamians.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Shante, thank you so much for joining us today and the incredible work you've been doing to empower young Bahamians to build a more sustainable Bahamas. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to our Blue Bahamas. Remember, whether on land or in sea, we have a role to play in protecting our environment and shaping our future. Until next time, stay inspired, stay informed, and stay connected to our Blue Bahamas.